Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. I am Leona Abraham Brando, host for Blog Talk Radio, Shedding Light. Today, we are going to have Madeline Colburn, well, Madeline Michelle Cawthon, co-hosting with us, and she will be on shortly. There are so many issues, current issues occurring at such a rapid speed in this country and around the world. We have much to talk about. Every Tuesday, we have public discussions on anything and everything. And this week, I would like to talk about the current events and the biblical prophecies that are being fulfilled. Right now, we have so many countries at threatening wars and rumors of wars, as it says in Matthew, the book of Matthew, chapters 24, 7, and on, and talks about all of these threats of wars. And we know right now with everything going on with Russia, Ukraine, China, North Korea, you know, Venezuela, Iran and Iraq, and the United States. We also know that a lot of biblical prophecies involve incarceration as well. We know when Jesus walked this earth, in this world, that he came in for a purpose, and that was to free us all of sin. But his fate was met with murder. He was thrown in prison. He was incarcerated. He was abused. He was tormented and tortured. He was spit upon. He was mocked. He was shamed. He was humiliated. He was beaten and thrown into prison. We see the same thing happening in the prisons in this country and around the world today. We see the human rights violations. We see people who are thrown in prison to serve their time for a crime they committed. But it was never meant to be torture. It was never meant to be abuses, violations, provocations, neglect, medical, psychological, and spiritual neglect. Everything that the Christ Jesus went through, in spite of the fact that he was innocent of all crime, he suffered. He knew and knows today what incarceration is all about, what prison is all about. He went through it himself. We have so many people going to church and praying the Our Father. Does anyone know when they pray the Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth, which shows there's a possibility that there is a new earthly paradise awaiting for us as well, as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our trespasses. So many of you that say the Our Father all the time will be saying, as we forgive those who have trespassed against us. You're condemning yourself. When I pray, I leave that part out. I say, forgive me my trespasses. And Father, please help me to forgive those who have trespassed against me. But everyone is so used to the traditional Our Father, forgive me my trespasses as I forgive others. Many of you have not forgiven others. Many of you in this country, especially, are about vengeance, retaliation, are about pain and sorrow, hatred, racism, all the negatives that only one being would be fought, and that would be Satan himself. There is so much to the Bible that people don't understand. And if you go to the book of 2 Timothy 3:16, it says all Bible scripture was inspired of God and is beneficial for teaching, reproving, disciplining, and setting things right. So when people, for those of you who still do believe in Christianity or still do go to church or whatever the case may be, think about what you're praying. When you're praying, think about your purpose for going to church. Because I'll tell you, our Father, our Creator, our Redeemer, our Master, our Most High and Most Holy One, our friend I pray and hope for all the time, and our miraculous worker. He's a God of mercy. He's a God of love. He's a God of compassion, understanding, forgiveness. But some people might take advantage of that. They may think because he's a forgiving God that he's going to forgive you every time you hate somebody or every time you try vengeance. I had a woman one time tell me she was a Christian and she lied her face off. But I didn't condemn her. I didn't say anything. I let her go. She was the sister of someone who had been unfortunately deceased. And she said her mother passed away. This was 10 years after. She said her mother passed away of suicide. Her mother committed suicide, which was a lie. Everybody knew it. But why would you say something like that? Why would you lie and then in the next breath say you're a Christian? We try to be Christians. We try to do the right things in life. But we have to remember, everything that's happening right now, God's purpose, God has a purpose. And we have to remember, prisoners should not be stereotyped because every situation is different. Every situation is different. We have people in prison because they're mentally ill. And whose fault is it that they're in prison? It's the fault of all these people on the outside that used to have mental institutions that decided it would be easier just to throw them all in prison like cattle. Build the prisons, mass incarcerations in this country. So we don't have to be bothered with them in our mental institutions, our hospitals. Addictions. You got these places where they go in for residential treatment facilities for substances, for drugs, alcohol, whatever the case may be. But most of these people are so interested in getting the money that they try to get them in and out as soon as possible to bring others in. The same thing in the prisons. They pack these cells. They double cell these people. Sometimes they have them all like dormitories. And save the empty cells so they can keep bringing them in, keep packing them in, because we have prisons for profit. Prisons for profit in the United States. This country is a Babylon, and I say it all the time. And that is because it's all about money. It's all about money. And so many people that start, even nonprofits, so many people that start their nonprofit organizations to help others, once that money starts rolling in, they get greedy. And it becomes all about them, not about the people they serve. Bible prophecy being fulfilled. If everybody just goes to 2 Timothy chapter 3, 2 Timothy chapter 3, starting at verse 1. I really need to, hold on, I am going to get my Bible because I have to read this to you. So many people think the Bible is a book of myths, fables, stories. But everything, if people actually read the Bible, they will see. It says, but know this, that in the last days, critical times, hard to deal with, will be here. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, haughty, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, disloyal, having no natural affection, not open to any agreement, slanderers without self-control, fierce, without love of goodness, betrayers, headstrong, puffed up with pride, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having an appearance of godliness but proving false to its powers. And from these you want to turn away from. And the reason I'm saying this is another thing. All these priests, all these pastors, chaplains, all of these so-called theological experts, they're the ones that too are sinners because they are teaching everyone that if it's not their religion you're practicing, then you're not in the right religion. Bibles are always revised. But if everyone compares Bibles, they will notice the messages in these Bibles are all the same. They're warnings. Their teachings, They're telling you different things, but they're all telling you the same thing in different words. Just like when you go to the Old Testament, when it talks about an eye for an eye, if somebody murders, they should be murdered. But they don't realize, too, the whole idea of the Old Testament was leading to the New Testament. And it was talking about the New Testament, even in biblical times, in ancient times. It was letting people know of the coming Messiah, which was the Christ Jesus on the Last Supper. He told his disciple, he was making a new covenant, that all people, now, all people were God's people. And that all things were going to be, the Ten Commandments were going to be the same, but it was all cut down to two commandments of the ten. And that was to know one God and to love one another as you want to be loved. And look at bringing it down to two commandments. We can't even follow those two. So it must have been very difficult to follow all ten of them years and years and years ago. We've got so much hatred in this country. But I want everybody also to go to, in the book of Revelations, to go to 12, chapter 12. Because this is, everyone is always blaming God for all the things that are happening. When in fact, in Revelations 12, verses 7 to 12, it says, "And war broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels battled with the dragon. And the dragon and its angels battled, but did not prevail. Nor was there a place found for them any longer in heaven. So down the great dragon, which is called Satan, was hurled, who is misleading the entire inhabited earth. He was hurled down to the earth, and his angels were hurled down with him. And then I heard a great voice in heaven say, 'Now has come to pass the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ, because the accusers of our brothers have been hurled down, who accuses them day and night before our God. And they conquered him because of the blood of the Lamb and because of the word of their witnessing, and they did not love their souls. On this account, be glad, you heavens, and you who reside in them. Woe for the earth and for the sea, because the devil has come down to you having great anger, knowing that he has a short period of time.'" So we need to know one thing. Satan was at one time an angel, just like all the others in heaven. But Satan was hurled down because Satan was a deceiver. So sometimes people look at the beginning of the Bible, but in Revelations, it's talking about the end that became the beginning, because Satan was thrown down from heaven because he was a deceiver. Who did he deceive in the beginning? Adam and Eve. So he was thrown down from heaven onto the earth, deceiving all these people, including myself. Satan will try to deceive us all if he can in some way or another. So many of you who have any kind of hatred in you, any kind of hatred at all, any kind of corruption, any kind of lies, deception, or whatever the case may be, you know where it's coming from now. You know where it's coming from, because in the book of Ephesians, it says that we are not fighting against flesh and blood. We are fighting against powers and principalities, rulers of darkness in this world, and high places in this world. So we know all the things that are happening. We know where it's coming from. And yet we still allow it to go on in our lives. We still allow it to go on in our lives. We're still out there doing the same thing that Satan would be doing. And that's hating. That's deceiving, lying to. It's a shame, but that's what's happening. In the book of Ephesians, chapter 6, verse 12, it says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood." That means we wrestle not against people, flesh and blood. "For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in high places in this world. We are wrestling against a government, a worldly government. People don't even know it. Now, talking about biblical times, we have to look at what's happening today, because it says in the Bible that there's going to be wars and rumors of wars. But it also says if we can tell when there's going to be a storm by looking up at the sky, we should be able to tell the signs of the time. We have in this world today, we have global warming, California fires left and right. We have tornadoes, hurricanes, earthquakes. And mind you, these things didn't just come about. We've always had them. But they're coming about more and more in a lot of places that they never were before. A lot of places. I remember growing up on Cape Cod years and years ago as a kid, we used to have snowstorms, a lot of snow. But we never had tornadoes. We never had earthquakes. No, none of that. We had a few hurricanes and snow, but we never had tornadoes and earthquakes. And in Massachusetts, we never had a lot of any of that. But yet in this past year, and you can verify it yourself, because I'm sure your country, your state got hit hard. We had tornadoes. We had earthquakes, and they have, in the media, they said there were numbers of earthquakes, but they were minor, so they didn't report them all. But we had tornadoes in Massachusetts. We had quite a few. We had earthquakes. We had hurricanes. We had unbelievable weather. Today is very cold. It's in the 20s, and they said in a couple of days it's going to be in the 60s. Global warming. These are only some of the signs. And as I said in 2 Timothy 3, it was talking about the people. The hearts of many will grow cold. We have so many things that are changing, and people, even atheists, have been saying they can't understand what's going on. So if atheists can't understand what's going on, they know something is not right. They know some things are changing. We should know very well, being brought up in Bible scriptures. It also mentions the churches. It mentions the churches. It mentions all the disruption that's going on with even the religious places. This is a shame, because these are also signs of the times. Where is everyone's thoughts on this? Where is everyone's mind? Are you preparing? There was a scripture, and I hope I can find it in the Bible. It was in the book of Matthew. But it was about a rich man who ate well, who had lived in a mansion, and there was a poor soul outside the gates of his premises with all kinds of sores on his body. The dogs were licking him, the sores. And his name was Lazarus. And when the rich man and Lazarus both died, Lazarus was up in heaven and the rich man in hell, as they call it, Hades. And he was begging God to send Lazarus down to wet his tongue. But he was told that he had his opportunity. He blew it, pretty much blew it. So he said, well, at least let him go and warn my family. Warn the family that this is really happening. It's not just a fable. It's not just a myth. It's really happening. But God, well, at the time, they say Abraham said, if they didn't believe Moses, if they didn't believe Jonah, if they didn't believe all these prophets and all these people that were trying to warn them before, what makes you think that they're going to believe him now? These are the things we have to look out for. Because what's going to happen is when the time comes, and it's going to come soon, It's right at the door. We see it all around us. You're not going to have time to change your attitude. You're not going to have time to say, I'm sorry that I hated this person because of the pigmentation of this skin. I'm sorry I hated this person because they were in prison. I'm sorry I hated this person because they stood me up. I'm sorry that I hated this person because of this or that. You can't change your mind at the last minute. There's a thing called restorative justice that a lot of advocates right now, prisoner advocates and legislative members, are trying to get going. Restorative justice, bringing victims and offenders together to talk about what caused the crime, what caused all of this to happen. Sometimes when a crime happens, people that don't even know either party, the offender or the victim, will come together as a mob to try to bring the person down that committed the offense, not asking what caused that person to commit this offense. What were they thinking? What was in their mind? What happened to them to change them, especially when it was somebody that was doing so well prior to committing that first offense? Somebody that was really doing well, someone that took care of themselves, that didn't get into drugs and alcohol, that worked, that went to college and high school and did all these things. No one thinks to look and say, what happened to that person? No one looks to think or ask about the person, the victim. What did that victim do to deserve it? Or what did that victim do? Look into the past of both sides. Try to figure out what caused it. But don't get involved. Stay neutral. Because it had nothing to do with you. It had nothing to do with you. You don't know either party. You don't know what caused it. You don't know what happened. And yet people come together as a mob to try to bring the person down that did it. You remember the girl, Carter, I believe the last name was, who talked her boyfriend into committing suicide, which he did. And she went to prison for 15 months or whatever. But what happens when that backfires? What happens if the person doesn't kill themselves, but they commit a homicide instead of a suicide? They go to prison. And depression can cause someone to do that. Depression can cause somebody to either commit suicide or commit homicide. Severe depression. Many people judge without knowing all the facts. Without knowing all the facts. We live in a country, and I'll tell you again, going back to the churches, rather than trying to turn people against other religions, try to get together with these other religions and try to search and seek the Bible. Try to look at these scriptures. Because as I said, in all the Bibles, they may be different, but the message is all the same. They may be revised. The wording may be. That's why I say you don't look at the Bible word for word. You look at the Bible for what it is intending or what it's trying to say. The Bible is trying to tell us all something. It wasn't just written for fun. It's not just a publication that most people write. It's not a self-published book. Again, like it says in 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture was inspired of God and is written. It is written to teach us something. I just want everyone to get the true facts of what's going on. Because all this hatred, incarceration, mass incarceration especially, in the United States, and we're the only country that has mass incarceration, the only country in the whole world, mass incarceration. 2.3 million people in prison, jails, what? Men, women, youth. 2.3 million people in prison for what? Please tell me. Please tell me if you know. But many of you can't say because you don't know. You don't know why they're all in prison, but you assume because they're all very, very dangerous criminals. But the dangerous ones, really, yeah, there's a lot of dangerous prisoners, but the dangerous ones, too, and you have to look into it. You see it all over the internet sometimes. And that's the overseers of the prisoners, the ones that get away with it because they wear a uniform or have a title. And everybody looks up to them because of that. I don't understand it. It's okay to hate somebody for tormenting, torturing, or killing another individual. But if they wear a uniform and have a title, they can do it, right, and get away with it? Is that right? Is that the kind of mentality that we have of our people in this country? To think that all we need to do is put a uniform on and have a title, and we can go out and do anything we want. That's why you have a lot of young people becoming, going to law enforcement and becoming correctional officers, because they found a way to get away with crime. And then you have people that are, so quick to side with law enforcement and correctional officers because either they are media, journalists, they're getting away with things themselves because now they got the connection. And as long as they defend those people that are committing all these crimes that are in uniform and titles, then they get away with things too. And then you get, of course, you get people that are related to law enforcement or correctional officers or friends of theirs that will side with them because they too are getting it. Everybody wants to be with the side that they are going to be able to benefit from. People that are going to be able to do the same things illegally and get away with it. Like a governor who has a son that was taken off the airplane for trying to sexually assault someone, and he was removed once the plane landed, taken away by the state police, and whatever happened, nobody knows. It got covered up under that rug. Everybody covers things up under the rug. And what's so sad about all of this is that we allow it to happen. We allow these things to happen. Not we, but many. Many people out there. And I really feel bad because I know that it can be prevented. I know there could be more lives spared if people just took into consideration that people do stumble, that people have problems, that people are not just out there killing because, or beating or tormenting because they wear a uniform or because they have a title. People are seriously being harmed. I remember being at a Christian retreat one time in New Jersey, and I met these three young men from New York. And I was joking around with one of them, and he was really upset. And I said at the end of the retreat, I was asking, when people joke with you, they try to, you know, they try to be nice to you. Why do you? And then they started opening up, and they talked about every time that they walked out of their doors, their homes in New York, as soon as they started walking down the stairs, and these are young men of color, they said the police was right on them. The police would be right there as soon as they came out of their door. And these kids were like 16, 17 years old. Why should kids grow up, not even grow up, be in their early teens and be taught by evil overseers that they're going to be targeted every time, every opportunity? Why should they have to go through this? You know, I had, unfortunately, someone that was severely depressed and committed his first offense, one shot, 30 years ago, at a time when he was really hurting. In his last year of a four-year college term, he said, and this is the sad thing about it, he said the reason he wanted to do so good, the reason he worked all those years, the reason he took care of himself and went to college, struggling to go to college, a young man without a father, without any siblings, he said because he wanted to be different than what everyone thought of when it came to black males. He wanted to be one that was successful so that he could show people that not all black males are bad. Unfortunately, he got caught up with a white person, a white girl, who was thinking just the opposite. She liked to party. She found him boring. She liked to have a good time. She said her family was racist, and yet when he tried to break off with her, she cried and said she was old enough to make up her own decisions. They stuck together. Every time she received a phone call from her mother, she would laugh after hanging up. She would laugh and say, my mother said that, yo, I know you're with that black man again. She tormented and tortured him, and he was too vulnerable to understand and to know it, to see through it. She said her father had connections. He lived in Florida. Her mother and father were separated or divorced. And because she couldn't bring the young man home to her house, she would go up to his dormitory throughout the week, all that year. And when it came time for graduation, he didn't graduate because he fell behind one subject. She would be all over him, possessive of him. And it reminds me, it's so strange because we just passed Valentine's Day. The last Valentine day he remembered was when she went to visit him at 10 o'clock at night. Someone said to her, are you seeing someone else? Because you used to be all over him and now you come periodically. And she said, no, I would never do that. And then she went and she told him that somebody had asked her that, hoping she could cause division between him and his friend. But his friend was right. She was cheating on him. And when he found out, he confronted her and he asked her about it. And she left him. But that wasn't enough. She kept calling him to tell him about her new boyfriend and how much her family loved her new boyfriend because he was white. These are some of the things that go on in society. But again, I keep reminding people, we are not wrestling against flesh and blood. We are wrestling against darkness, powers and principalities, rulers in dark places. This is a spiritual battle that this country, the world is in. This is a spiritual battle between good and evil spirits. When Jesus walked this earth, he healed the blind and the deaf. He healed the lame. He healed those that were possessed. He healed those that were depressed. He healed the lepers. He raised the dead. He taught us about the Father. So in order to forgive, one of the things we have to remember is we're wrestling against spirits within the bodies of individuals. So that flesh and blood is not what we should be looking at. It's the evil spirits that are in those bodies. And that's why I say God has his lambs amongst the wolves behind those prison walls as well as Satan. So when we look at individuals going to prison, we should not be stereotyping. We should be trying to figure out ways to help in some way both the offender or offenders and the victims. We should not be looking at ways to turn people against one another, but to unite people. We should not be looking at ways to separate religions or churches, talk about other pastors or priests or imams or rabbis or any other theological leader. We should be looking at ways to come together, all of them should be looking at ways to come together, to bring people together, and to start really searching the scriptures together. And God also mentioned, according to the scriptures, God also said that churches are not built by hand. They're not built. What he's saying is a church doesn't have to be a building. Church is within us. A church is within us. So we need to look at our own being. We need to look at what others think and work together with others to try to come to the truth about biblical scriptures. We can't judge people we don't know. And if we do, we're being very sinful. We're being very sinful. We have enough to do with trying to find ways to get ourselves right before this day of destruction. And it's right upon us now. It talks about the wars and rumors of wars. One of the things I have to, when I connect, a lot of people say, well, I don't get into all that. I don't follow the Bible. I mean, I don't follow the things that are going on in the world. Well, you should, because in the Bible it says stay on the watch. We have to keep on the watch. If we don't, we're not going to know until it falls upon us. And we're not going to be able to change then. But Bible scripture tells us everything. And right now, Russia has all those tanks and everything stationed outside of Ukraine. But at the same time, it says, too, that when there's peace and security, well, now Russia's talking about taking some of those things out of there. Taking those things out. So now they're looking at possibilities that there won't be war after all. But in the Bible, it says that. And this is the strange thing about it. Because it's going to go from war to peace and security. And then all of a sudden it says that's in Thessalonians chapter 5. And that's when it says when peace and security, that's when all destruction is going to happen. So people will sit at a table, all of our government leaders will sit at the table, and they will be laughing and joking and talking amongst themselves, while at the same time, they will be hating one another, betraying one another. And that's what we have with our government leaders right now all over the world. They're all coming together to try. They're all coming together to try to make friends when they hate one another. So now that I have said all this so that the audience gets an idea of the biblical scriptures and what's going on today, I want to introduce again Madeline Michelle Kaufman, who is going to be co-hosting. And Madeline, are you there?
Yes, good morning, Leona. I apologize. You know, it's this technology. I've been on the phone with T-Mobile dealing with this phone issue, but they finally got me working this morning.
I was actually on the phone with T-Mobile yesterday, so T-Mobile better get their acts together too. But
found out there was some other things about the 5G, and I'm not on 5G yet, so that's what their excuse is. If you're not on 5G, then you're going to have technical difficulties, you know, until they can get, I guess, the towers mapped out. But needless to say, I was able to get on the call now. Everything's working. I wasn't able to receive any calls or texts or anything.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Wow. You know, that 5G is causing a lot of, and you know something, speaking of Bible prophecies, that 5G is also connected with a lot of changes that are going on in this world today that are leading to Bible prophecy fulfillment.
Absolutely.
And Madeline, you're a chaplain and you're also a reverend. Talk about what your thoughts are on biblical prophecies that are occurring today.
Well, based on what my personal experience has been, and with the Social Security Administration death master file, so to speak, that caused me to become dead for these last 14 years fighting to get my life back on track and to be recognized back in commerce, that was an opportunity for me to truly understand what is really happening when it comes to not only our branches of government, but the way that the economy has shifted. I didn't understand that how technology today given the fact in my professional skills that I am an IT programmer, so I understand the actuality of technology and how it operates, but when it got to me, as far as affecting me being listed as deceased and truncated from the death master file, that's what opened my eyes to Revelations chapter 13, 16. And the reason I say Revelation chapter 13, 16, because that particular chapter in itself is talking about the end times and what we're experiencing now, where no man would be able to buy or sell anything, that's in verse 17, unless they accept the mark of the beast. I didn't quite fully understand what that meant. And of course, theologians have many skeptics about that particular chapter. You know, I've heard many talks on, but I literally walked through chapter Revelation 13 when it came to my civil rights being taken away from me, all due to a 9-digit social security number, which is the number of man, which denotes Revelation 13, verse 18. I didn't quite understand how all this correlated to biblical prophecies, the end time, but this is what I was given dealing with numbers. There was a code 29 on my name that denoted me deceased in the Social Security Death Master files. And I didn't understand what code 29 meant, nor did they at the time. It wasn't until I had a dream in regards to breaking down the number 13 plus 16 is 29. And when I had awakened, I went this particular morning back in 2007, because this is when all of this happened to me, I went straight to my Bible, as I believe I was being led by the Holy Spirit, to go to Revelation chapter 13, verse 16, because what was on my name was code 29. And I broke that code down with two different numbering systems, which was 13 plus 16, that was 29. But when it led me to Revelation chapter 13, verse 16, and when I read exactly what it said, that let me know that something was getting ready to happen. I didn't know exactly what, but I knew that it was going to affect a lot of people in diverse places. And given the fact of me going through that particular chapter, I had to read it over and over to understand how is this going to affect multiple of people similar to what I'm going through. And if I may take a moment of time and just read on Revelation 13, verse 16, it starts off with, and he called us all, the small and the great and the rich and the poor and the free men and the slaves, to be given a mark on their right hand and on their forehead. Verse 17 says, and he provides that no one should be able to buy or to sell except the one who has the mark, either the name of the beast or the number of his name. Verse 18, the last verse says, here is wisdom. Let him who has understanding calculate the number of the beast, for the number is that of a man, and his number is 666. Now, that took me back to 15 U.S.C. code 666. The government is using biblical prophecy, and I didn't know this to know wisdom until this situation happened to me being listed as deceased. That's what got me more and more in-depth into this particular chapter, because it correlated to code 29 on my name. And when you look at what's actually happening, no matter how much I've gone before Congress, no matter how many times I've gone before my state legislators in Missouri in regards to this matter of the false death on my life, they could not figure it out. But it was through the calculation of a dream that I had about code 29 and breaking down 13 versus 16, not even knowing what that was in the Bible at the time. I just knew that code 29, 13 plus 16 is 29. But the Holy Spirit led me to that chapter. And this is exactly what not only happened to me, because when you're listed as deceased, dealing with the Social Security number, for one, we are number holders. We are beneficiaries to the number. The number does not belong to us as natural living persons. That number has been given to us, and we have a trustee that is over us, which is the Social Security Administration. A lot of people don't realize that. We do not by choice have to take the number. We can decline receiving the Social Security number, but of course that would allow you to not be able to receive any governmental benefits, any retirement, any Social Security benefits when you get of age if you have worked. So I get all of that. But going back to this particular chapter, do you know for 14 years being listed as dead, I could not get a job, I could not get a home, I could not apply for a credit card, I could not get my car refinanced, I got my car repossessed because they couldn't prove that I was who I am in the system. I don't know exactly how this number of a Social Security number went through all of the federal and state systems, even so much creditor systems, to show that I was deceased to where I end up losing my home. I lost my vehicle. I lost my job. I couldn't prove who I was. But it goes back to this particular situation, Revelation 13, when it names every diverse of people. Do you realize the last election that prior to Biden getting into office, everything that came out in the media was about people that were dead were listed as voting, and that cannot be. But that is what happened when they was giving out the stimulus checks. They were giving stimulus checks and mailing them to people that was supposedly listed as deceased.
I remember.
But they were really alive.
I remember hearing about this.
That related me back to this. It didn't matter if you was freeman, if you were poor, if you was enslaved, not so much as an indentured servant, but just enslaved in the mind, being indoctrinated with the propaganda that the government has put out here. It did not matter because in verse 17, I couldn't buy or sell anything. And I have my own business as an LLC and couldn't do anything with it. The IRS even sent me letters saying that I couldn't even file my taxes because the number that was used to file my taxes came back to a deceased individual. So therefore, the IRS never gave me my income tax from 2018 dealing with this matter. This situation, when it comes to Bible prophecy, they already know. Those in high places, they already know when it comes down. And this is what I believe they're making a mockery of God amongst his people. And this is what we're seeing that is being played out. That if, in fact, you don't go along with what the government is saying, so to speak, you will be ostracized. But it should be no surprise to those who partake on the Christian name, because Christ told us, you will be persecuted for my name's sake. But not truly understanding how we would be persecuted, going through this matter for 14 years, being listed as dead, not having no help, but by the grace of God, and going through this particular chapter, it helped me to see that it's the Social Security number that is controlling everything about our lives, that we cannot get out from under it, lest we deny the services in itself. And to do that would mean that you will become what they call a vagabond. You can't get any help from anywhere, period. And that's pretty much what lined up with Scripture. And because of that and my service in which I have been helping inmates incarcerated wrongfully for the last 28 years, it helped me to understand how can inmates receive a stimulus that the government has given them, but they work every day, but every year they can't file income taxes. Well, I found the flaw under 26 USC, which is an IRC code that deals with the IRS. Paying taxes is voluntarily. People don't know that under that code. But because of the propaganda that the government has put out there, they make it seem as though it's mandatory, just like they're doing with these vaccines. The vaccines are not mandatory. They are consensual. There has not been a federal code regulation that states that we, the people, are mandated to take this vaccine. But again, when you go back to Revelation chapter 13, 16, it says small, great, rich, poor, freemen, slaves, all will be given the mark within their right hand or on their forehead. What do they do when it comes down to when they want to give you the vaccine or check your temperature? They put that temperature gun up to your head, not realizing that being pointed to your pineal gland is calcifying the pineal gland, which eventually, if it happens consistently, it's going to cause your problems. But these are things that is not really broken down to be told to the American people that is going through this process. So when you talk about biblical prophecy, what we're seeing today, even when it comes down to Russia and Ukraine, those two countries in itself, with America being an ally to Ukraine, it's all biblically foretold right here in the Bible. And I know a lot of people can contest it and deny it for the fact, but we have to understand we didn't create ourselves. So therefore, there's a greater force than it is above us, which is the Most High God. And if we, in fact, do not take time to understand and discern the wisdom that has been given to us by God, not worldly wisdom, not being indoctrinated by all of these different philosophies and opinions of man, we have to depend upon the Holy Spirit to understand what is actually happening in today's society, to understand where is my place in this world? What am I called to do? Right now, with a lot of people being detached from their workplace and they're now being laid off or being terminated because they refuse to take the vaccine, it's allowing the individuals to understand who they really are, understanding the creativity that is within them to be able to establish jobs for themselves and to become self-employed. These are the high times now that we have to detach ourselves from government to understand what is my ordained purpose in life. What have I been called to do? And I can assure you, being in ministry for 28 years, I'm still learning. I don't have all the answers. What I do know is the personal experience that I've experienced dealing with our U.S. government declaring me as deceased, knowing that I am alive, has allowed me to understand what we truly are dealing with. And all I can do is reference the Bible. This is not something man told me. This is not something I've gone to academia school to learn. I've learned everything through my personal experience, lining up with biblical prophecy, and that's what is happening. I've only given one chapter of what I've personally experienced. But what we're actually experiencing right now with world government is what's talked about in Matthew chapter 24. Christ has already given us the prerequisite. When you hear of these things taking place, kingdoms rising against kingdoms, nations against nations, pestilences that is happening, diseases that are happening, know that the end has not come yet, but these are the beginning of birth pangs, such as a woman that is pregnant. So imagine that, having a child. You know what the birth pangs feel like. They are horrible. But after that child is born, you forget about the pain and just receive the joy of looking at your newborn child. That's what we're experiencing right now, the birth pains, all of the gaslighting that is taking place with Putin and Biden. And here we are as a people living in this country supposed to just trust government to take care of our lives, to protect us. No, this is when it really comes down to understanding you have to trust in a higher power. And I understand that a lot of people don't believe in the Most High God. They believe in other gods, and that's fine if that's their choice. But in the end, as I'm reminded, Christ said, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Christ is Lord. Regardless of who don't believe it, who can't accept it, that's just what it is. It has been written. We cannot unwrite what has already been written. So when you talk about Bible prophecies, as my grandmother used to say, just keep living. You will see the hand of God in everything you find yourself encountering, and that's where we are right now. We can't depend on this government. We can't even depend on ourselves. We can't even take the next breath without trusting God to give us that ability. And that's the deepness of it all. People don't look at it that way, but that's what it is. We do not belong to ourselves. We didn't create ourselves. So we have to acknowledge there's a higher power that is in control. We can't give man and government the control and put fear within ourselves thinking that this is not going to get better. Where do we go from here? We have to turn back unto the Most High God and allow our lives to align with the righteousness of that which has been written, opposed to the ways that we have been accustomed to living, the adaptations of the philosophies that we've learned throughout our lives by man, It's all sinful. We have to know that what we're going through right now is the beginning of birth pains. And this is just the beginning of it. As you notice, the days are getting shorter. Sometimes you might think it's another day. The days are going just that fast. And you have to wonder why. We don't have control over the Gregorian calendar. We can't control the days of the calendar. We can't rush until tomorrow. We have to await until tomorrow arrives. But just deal with what today has to offer. And so I understand when it comes to Bible prophecy, don't worry about what tomorrow will bring. Focus on today. That's all we can do. And it's radio broadcasts like this that we have a voice that we could be able to share with others to be able to understand how we can all come together collectively, because in the end, that's all we have. It's not about color. It's not about religion. It's about the love that is permeated from our hearts that we can only get from the Most High God. Without love, we have nothing. But that's not what the oppressor wants. That's not what the adversary wants. We gotta continuously to see distractions. The Bible has already prophesied that. But if you're not listening, as it says, your eyes are not open, your ears are not there to hear, then of course fear is going to set in, anxiety, depression, you name it, to where you're not going to be able to see what's to come, how to overcome the enemy pretty much at the gate, because that's where we are right now. Just listen to the news. They claiming, allegedly, Ukraine supposed to be attacked tomorrow. Since when has the enemy ever told when they're going to attack another country? So this is what we have to gear up for. You can't store up enough food. You can't hide in enough bunkers for an apocalypse. You just got to make sure that your soul is right. That's where we are right now today.
Exactly.
That's my spiel from my personal experience.
You know, they've been revving up this this war with between Russia and Ukraine. They've been pushing it and pushing it and pushing it. And today, this morning, I heard something about Russia now is going to be pulling back on some of his troops or tanks, almost like he's going to stop pulling out. But then and you probably know the scripture with Thessalonians when it says when people talk of peace and security.
Mm-hmm.
I forgot what scripture it is in I believe it's Thessalonians, but it says when there's talk of peace and security, then all destruction is going to come about. And all I could think about was right now they're all smiling at one another and talking and you know, trying to make it seem like everything's going to be fine and dandy. And all of a sudden now he may be letting people think he's pulling out, but it also mentions that's when all destruction will come about.
Well, see, that's where the conflicting news media has a lot of people that listen to their propaganda. Because even though I've read what you just said, as of this morning, there were talks about Putin pulling out some of the military aircraft from certain parts of Ukraine and leaving so many others there. But yet again, my own cousin, who is not even 20 years old, is right there, has been deployed within the last 2 weeks to Ukraine for this particular alleged war that's supposed to happen. If it wasn't so, why send those young folks over there? Why deploy them? If it wasn't anything that was actually going to come about this thing. Just yesterday, the Prime Minister of Ukraine talked about them being attacked on Wednesday by Russia. Now today, there's a different talk, like a kumbaya talk. How can you believe what's being said?
That's why I believe something is going to happen, something major. It just is
Americans in too much debt. And they need war to be able to stimulate the economy. Let's just be frank. That's what's going on here. That's what we're experiencing. That's what we're witnessing. America's in too much debt. And you know, like I know, over the years, it seems like war come about every 10 years or so, no matter who's in office. That's what we're experiencing to stimulate the economy. They thought this whole COVID-19 was going to do it. But people start waking up to the propaganda of what was really going on behind it. How is it that you fire hundreds of thousands of people because they don't bend and bow to take this vaccine, but now the Supreme Court comes back and say it's unconstitutional? So what do you do in the respect of the people that have been fired from their jobs due to not taking the vaccine when now it's been deemed that it ain't even mandatory? It's unconstitutional. There's no federal regulation that says it's mandatory that everyone has to take this vaccine. So now we're getting ready to see a lot of corporations filed with class action lawsuits that's going to cause a lot of corporations to close down. This is what we're part of right now. This is what we're witnessing. The back and forth, the propaganda. Well, today, baby. Well, tomorrow, not. You know, how can we even put our trust in man, this government? You know, like I know, what happened with the Tuskegee Airmen. Even so much, I don't have to go that far. I'm from, born and raised in St. Louis, Missouri. And I recall a military study that was done down in the Pruitt Igles that was able to cause cancer to a lot of the people that were living there from the aerosol spray that they were spraying in the air as a test, a human test being done on the people that was undisclosed to the people in the city of St. Louis that now 50 years later it comes out. How do you trust a government like this? My mother is now deceased from having cancer, living right down there in that same part. Can I prove that this is something that part she was partaking of living there? She was a young girl when this happened. But here it is now in her age when she passed away in 2014, and a lot of people back in the 40s. My mom was born in 1947. A lot of those individuals that were living in the city of St. Louis in that location are now deceased or still battling cancer. And this is a proven study that has come out just within the last 5 years that has taken place in the city of St. Louis at the Pruitt-Igles, what they end up doing and putting the toxin allergen of the chemicals from the aerosol spray that they were spraying in the air as a human test. Why would they do that? And we still trust in the military today? This is all I'm saying. It's evil. It's very much evil. So, yeah.
You know, one of my brothers who was in Vietnam, he was in the Marines, and his death was still not, it hasn't been confirmed because some officials went to visit my mother. They thought it was from the Agent Orange when he was in Vietnam. So even that destroyed a lot of military troops with that experiment, or I don't know if it was an experiment, but that Agent Orange. So the government, and that's why I say when they talk about not wrestling against flesh and blood, but against the powers and principalities, darkness, rulers of darkness in high places. And I strongly believe that the government has done so much damage that it speaks of the government.
But the question is, why do they do these testing human experiments on the American people?
Because they're cold-hearted.
That is what they have yet to come to the forefront to acknowledge to the American people and what they're doing. They know it's not right, so that's why they don't disclose it to us, the American people, and just like with this vaccine. They're not disclosing what is happening, and they got the unvaccinated pitted against the vaccine. And we've never heard this before in our life in regards to the deaths, the many deaths that this has happened outside of the Spanish flu, but that was before my time. But you have to understand, all of this is man-made. But the question would have to be, why are they suing right now Dr. Fauci and Bill Gates for war crime, humanity war crime, if it wasn't so? You got Congress coming up against them right now. They just had several congressional meetings and hearings, I mean, and Dr. Fauci now is claiming that his life has been threatened because of Rand Paul, because he's making it seem like he's the cause of all of this. Well, where did it come from? All of this research money that is given to these scientists, are they really mad scientists? Why is it that they want to depopulate the population in this country? Who gives them the right to depopulate anyone? Any region? Why are they changing jurisdictions and regions before every election? What is that about when they say there is no fraud when it comes to election? How does congressional members stay in office as career politicians when it's supposed to be an elected position? You're telling me Nancy Pelosi been in the position of power that she's been in for darn near almost 60 years, and there's no one in six decades in her jurisdiction as a constituent that can outbeat her in the election? What is that all about? This is what I'm saying. You cannot become a career politician. That's an elected position. How can you predict you're going to win for the last 60 years? See, this is what I'm saying. We got all these other countries laughing at us when it comes to democracy, which democracy ain't even written in the Constitution. Why do we adopt that philosophy? Because it's been working for so long and it has blinded us, American people, to where we don't have no fact-checking. It's whatever the media says, whatever the elite says, that's just what it is. And people go with it. Until now, people are tired. They're ruffling the feathers right now. And that's why I believe with the distraction of this Ukraine and Russia is to get our mind off of other things that is happening, the economy, the stock market, all of these things that are man-made that has built man up to where right now we're getting ready to see the Tower of Babel fall. It is falling
exactly.
Right before our eyes.
Exactly. Look at these trucking, these protests in Canada and the United States, and now they're talking about expanding out to other areas to do the trucking protests to block all these areas, which is going to be causing a lot of economical failures and other things.
Well, it stops our import and export, you know, our supply and demand. The truckers is the last hope at this point. You still got those ships out on the water. You know, you have to wonder why are they still out on the water and not bringing in the produce, the product. It's all political driven. It's all
and
political
exiting,
driven.
Exiting from the U.S., I mean, we have the Mexican borders blocked off. Now we have Canada and the U.S. blocked off. Why are they blocking off all these borders? You know, where do we go from here if there wasn't an internal or domestic terrorist attack?
That's right. That's right. That's right.
So much going on.
One thing I do know is that prayer is the key. And then come action. Faith without works is dead. And at some point, just like we've seen other countries raise up against their government because of the tyranny that they're experiencing, it's going to be the same thing right here in America soon. We haven't seen nothing yet. That's not a threat. That's a promise. We can't continue to go on like this. We cannot continue to go on like this.
100%. Something major is going to happen in this country, and people in this country have not a clue. They just continue on as ever. You know, in the book of 2 Peter chapter 3, when it talks about that too, the scoffers. I don't know if you have your Bible in front of you. If you do, 2 Peter chapter 3, if you could just read the first couple of paragraphs, right down to when with the flood. I mean, people just think that this is something just to talk about. They don't believe it's actually going to happen.
What chapter in 3?
2 Peter chapter 3, starting at verse 1.
Oh, yeah, where it says, this is now, beloved, the second letter I'm writing to you in which I'm stirring up your sincere mind by way of reminder. You should remember the words spoken beforehand by the holy prophet and the commandment of the Lord and Savior spoken by your apostles. Know this, first of all, that in the last days, mockers will come with their mocking, following after their own lust, and saying, quote, where is the promise of his coming? For ever since the fathers fell asleep, all continued just as it was from the beginning of creation. For when they maintained this, it escaped their notice that by the word of God, the heavens existed long ago, and the earth was formed out of water and by water, through which the world at that time was destroyed, being flooded with water. But the present heavens and earth by his word are being reserved for fire, kept for the day of judgment and destruction of ungodly men. I can go on and on, but that in itself is, who do we have running this country? Countries. Ungodly men.
Really?
Ungodly men. And here it is that we've put our trust in ungodly men because of the greed so many of us had. And I say that because when you look at America, everyone wants to come to America. Like, this is the home of the brave, land of the free. That we're just a powerful country over every other country that is a sovereign nation. And that's not true. The last catastrophe that we've experienced that brought us to our knees to show that vulnerability that America has is when 9/11 happened. Whoever thought 9/11 would take place, even though it was an inside job, who would have thought this would have happened?
Mm-mm.
So we can't say what Putin won't do. He's been making threats, but you can only make threats for so long before you have to be called out on it. And at this point in time, just yesterday, Prime Minister of Ukraine talked about they're going to be attacked on Wednesday, tomorrow. But now today, media shows that Putin has become soft on all of the scoffing that he has done with Biden as if he was going to attack Ukraine. How could that be? He's pulling out so many of his military men. But just yesterday, the Ukraine president stated that they were to be attacked on Wednesday. That doesn't make sense. And like I said, it's so close to home for my family. My young cousin, not even 20 years old. He's only been in the military for a year. He just graduated in 2020. And here he is already on the front lines in Ukraine.
Mm-mm.
With only a year experience? That don't make sense. That's how I know it's real. If nothing was going to happen, why send and deploy our men and women over to Ukraine? Wasting taxpayer dollars. Why? If nothing was going to happen. Look what happened to Afghanistan, the military men and women being over there for 20 years and nothing took place. Wasting all of the tax dollars. It just lets you know that, hey, we're in this world. We don't have to be of this world. There is something that we as a people can do once we find within ourselves, what is my calling? It's more to me getting up and doing a 9-to-5, going to work, making money for a corporation that don't care nothing about me or my family. You see how easy it is to replace an employee just because they don't bend and do what an employer wants them to do unlawfully. How can you force someone to do something when it's not even a federal regulated law? But that's what they're doing. Fear-mongering, propaganda, gaslighting. Oh, there is an agenda. Just like Revelation 13 says, everyone's going to be affected by it. Once this stock market crashed, and it will happen, it's on its way. They want to usher in cryptocurrency to get rid of the fiat dollar because it's lost its value. It's going to happen. As soon as they get everyone on that blockchain, that's when we may just see the catastrophe happen. Because once you lose power in a country from the power grid, that means you can't even access no internet. I just experienced something with T-Mobile. And this is just my phone carrier. And just because they're upgrading to 5G, you mean to tell me my phone don't work? I'm not getting phone calls? Calls are going straight to voicemail? I can't dial out? That goes to show you we don't have no power over the grids. We experiencing what the problems are, but we can't do anything about it. T-Mobile can't do anything about my issue other than work with me, troubleshoot with me on the phone, reset the phone, and hope that it works, all because they're upgrading. Now, the question is, what are they upgrading for? What is the purpose of the upgrade? What will 5G do to us with radiation?
There's so many
what
questions.
What the government is not sharing with us.
So many questions.
It really is. It really is. And it all derives back to biblical prophecy, which somebody high and elite, hidden hands, is playing God.
Tell
Anytime
me that.
You want to depopulate the American people, or just the people, not American people, I say globally.
And a lot of times, I know that the book of Daniel has a lot of, he had a lot of images that reflect somehow to what's happening now. And I tried to go back periodically to just to find out the images that he was seeing, the dreams that he was having about the future, and it kept saying to seal it for now because the time had not come yet. This was in Daniel, the book of Daniel.
Mm-hmm.
but there's so much that has to do with the book of Daniel, with even what today's prophecies are.
Mm-hmm. Well, we're truly seeing it unfold, Leona, that's for sure. You know, I listen to a lot of the prisoners that call me, you know, that I've been advocating for life in Missouri, and I hear what they're experiencing, which is unreal, where they are, and they don't have any oversight. They don't have anyone to care about the situation. They don't have an outlet that they can go to report these issues without being retaliated. And you have to figure, like, why is that? Don't they want to do the right thing? No, they don't, because that's big business. If problems are starting to be looked into and dealt with, then they wouldn't have a job. So this is why they continue to create the chaos and then come with a plan, a solution, like they want to fix the solution, so that they can continue to create the contracts that the prison systems have, while the people continue to suffer. Like I said, I can't still wrap my head around the whole income tax refund situation. You mean to tell me that a district judge ruled that all prisoners in this country are obtainable to get the stimulus that they were due, just like the average person, but any other time they can't get a refund from the IRS, and they work every day, whether it be in the canteen, whether it be in whatever job they are assigned, and they're getting paid a dollar or 70 cents a day, but they can't claim that on their taxes? But yet they can get a refund as of last year? How does that make sense? That's like taxation without representation. But nobody's there to talk about that, only when it's good for the collective, which it was. But now here we are in 2022, 2 years into this COVID-19, and we're in 2022 when this was a total pandemic. This ain't something that just happened. How are we still talking about COVID-19 and we in 2022? And that was in 2019, but it didn't come out to 2020. That don't make sense.
No.
But there's no oversight. Who do you talk to? You can't deal with Congress. You see, they arguing amongst themselves. So it's going to have to come down to the people protecting themselves, doing what's best for them and their families. It's an individual choice. But that's what they're trying to strip from us and make it an Orwellian society, totalitarian society.
We're going to find out a lot, I think, within the next few weeks, if even that long, because right now the tension that has grown in the past few weeks, and actually the past month, the tension that has grown has been so, so extensive that mm-hmm. I can't even imagine a war not breaking out.
Right.
Really, some major changes are going to happen. And people, I just need to encourage people to really start focusing, because so many people just go about a day-to-day activities without any consideration of what's about to happen.
Mm-hmm.
I remember years ago, I was watching TV as a teenager, and there was some man, he's since died, but he had predicted everything that's been happening right up until now. It showed people in headgear and uniforms and all the fighting and it was all in the United States. You know, it was just unbelievable. And I see it all coming to pass now, even more so. But, you know, I that's why I say I feel bad, because there's so many people behind those prison walls that are being judged, and people need to realize, too, that some of these things were predicted in the Bible, some of the things that are happening, and instead of coming together as a mob to go against people they do not know, you know, and judging them, they have to really look at the reason behind it. Is this God's purpose? Is something else going on behind the scenes, or what?
Right.
I don't know. Like I say, God has used a lot of people, even behind those prison walls. But some of these people don't get an opportunity because they're caged. You know, they're kept in their cells in solitary confinement, restricted blocks. They don't have
a lot of their things. They don't have Bibles. Some of them don't even have Bibles, which is, you know,
right.
Like I remember I got something from Dr. Jeremiah in my email the other day, and I responded back and I said, you know, there's a lot of people behind those prison walls that get completely ignored. And when we have these people that are out here preaching to the world and the people that are already out of the prison walls, think about those that are in. And if it wasn't for, you know, chaplains like yourself and others that periodically or whatever stay connected, you know, with these people, it's they don't get the word. They don't mm-hmm. really get the word at all.
Mm-hmm.
But right now we're at a time, a very crucial time in life. Well, we, as you said, people need to make up their minds. We can serve one of two masters, and I want to serve the one, the Most High, that's going to be, that is in control, and that's going to be the one that's going to bring this system of things to its end.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like,
absolutely.
They have in, I think it's Exodus 23, chapter 23, starting at verse 1 to 3. Exodus, I want to see if I can get that. 23:1-3. And this is what happens in society today, law of justice and mercy. It says, do not spread false reports. Do not help a guilty person by being a malicious witness. Do not feel the crowd. And it talks about not going against the cause of a poor man or whatever. And I start to think about some of these things, and I say, this happens so many times. In the United States, where we have mass incarceration, people are coming against people they do not even know. And what are your thoughts on that?
Well, when you sit back and you look at the situation, people are going to attack what they don't know to bring about distractions. You know, it's almost like, again, you have the righteous and the unrighteous. And that's not being judgmental of anyone. I mean, you know them by the fruits that they bear. And you'd have to wonder, why is it that one in political power will not humble him or herself to do the right thing? Well, again, what is it that keeps one on the opposite side of the fence? Greed. It's a whole lot of other things. Political power. To stay in the position that they're in, opposed to doing the right thing. And then you have these parties that is divisive in itself. All you've ever heard about is Democrats and Republicans.
Mm-hmm.
You don't hear about any other party that has been on a ticket. You may see it on a ticket when you're voting, but you don't hear their voices because the media doesn't want that. They want to make you think that you have the Democrat and Republicans for your best interest, and then where they break it down to the red and the blue states, how do we come to that being a United States? But we're really divided as states, all because of those that are in political power. And when you have unrighteous people in power, then the people are going to cry out. And even though they're not getting the justice that is due from them, God has to step in. The Most High God has to step in.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what I'm believing, that we're seeing the prophecies are unfolding the way that they are. This is so crazy that I just read about China just created a sun. How do you create the sun?
Create the sun?
What are you trying to deceive? Create a sun, S-U-N, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Like, how do you do that? What is the purpose of creating another solar system? Like, I don't understand that. What is the, that's evil. Who are you trying to deceive? What is the purpose of that? But these are questions that when you're not in the know, you don't know. You just accept it for what it is. Another thing, why did Donald Trump create the Space Force? When now that you have Biden administration in office, you don't hear nothing about Space Force. Who's going up there to fight aliens? The government talks about aliens, but now all of a sudden the Pentagon won't release the documentation that they assured that they would release last year in July. The people not ready for that. So now you have to wonder, what is the deception all about? What is the
purpose of it. So that if you continue to deceive a people, you can continue to control the people, and it's all about control. We can never forget about the fallen angels. We can never forget about the unrighteousness of what man has grasped hold of because of sin. I can't help but go back to depopulation. Who gives the right to another man that breathes like you and I to have the authority to want to depopulate a nation of people? Evil. You can't be human. You can't be of a sound mind to want to do that. What do you get out of that? Who is Bill Gates outside of a businessman that got his hands all up into government, buying up farmland? What is all that about when all we ever knew of Bill Gates is Microsoft? Yes, he has a philanthropy organization, but now only to find out that he and Dr. Fauci are being brought up on humanitarian crimes? These just two men that's in the forefront. You know it got to be hidden hands because they're not the only one. We never even knew about a deep state until Donald Trump got in office and put more emphasis on the deep state. Now, who elected the deep state when normally people elect Congress to get in office? You telling me deep state supersedes Congress and they got to get rid of deep state in order for Congress to act right? That don't make sense. Did nobody vote deep state into office? Who are they?
There's so many different terms that people in higher power in this country and around the world are using now. And we have 2.5 minutes. And Madeline, I really wanted you to give out your information for anyone that wants to contact you as well. But we're hearing so many different terms that they're using now, just like when they talked about the Proud Boys. But we hear all these different things, and we're in a country right now that's so, it's being run by corporations and people and power and everything else. And in the Bible where it says, when God told, I believe it was the Israelites, he said, enough. And I think that right now, this is what our Creator is feeling or saying is enough. And I think it's all going to be coming to its closure. And I always say, come quickly, because we are living amongst evil leaders or people trying to lead this world who have not a clue of what they're doing, have no heart, they're very careless. And everything that they're doing is to bring man down and bring their wealth and their powers up. Nebuchadnezzar was one of them years and years and years ago, but what happened with him? So I think that right now, I think there is going to be a war. I think that it's going to come suddenly, like it said, like a thief in the night. And I just want to encourage everyone to be prepared. And Madeline, thank you for coming on, and thank you for co-hosting with me. And I'd like to have you give out any information you'd like to give out, and we will bring this to a close in a couple of minutes.
Sure. My name is Madeline. Coburn is what I can be found. That was my former name before I had to get the name changed. That's listed on Facebook, or you can find me on LinkedIn. That's my business account. If anyone would like to email me in regards to wrongful convictions or dealing with any prison reform or restorative justice, I can be reached at coburnenterprise06@gmail.com. I'm always available and open for any talks or collaborations or networking with others around the country when it comes to wrongful convictions. That is my passion. That's what I've been doing for the last 28 years, and I hope to hear from someone.
And I really want to reemphasize what Madeline was mentioning earlier about her being listed as deceased. I've known Madeline Coburn for years. She's been an advocate for many, many years, as was with Mary Nico, who previously passed on. We really missed her because she was quite an activist too. But Madeline had been listed for as deceased for so many years, and she just recently, within the past couple of years, did return to her maiden name, which is Madeline Michelle Coffin, because of her being listed as deceased. When I checked into it, Madeline, too, I noticed that you and there were others, a few others, too, who, like yourself, were listed as deceased, and they weren't. I don't know how that ended up with them, but you did have to go back to your maiden name, and I periodically forget, because Madeline has been known for so many years as a prisoner advocate under the name of Madeline Colburn, and now she is Madeline Michelle Coffin. And Madeline, your story is just so unique, and I'm sure people will be thinking about that for years. It could happen to any one of us, and thank God it didn't.
Well, I'm still advocating for others that are going through the similar process of not knowing how to restore pretty much their livelihood. That's what I'm here for. So, again, if anyone wants to reach out to me, if you have any problem with Social Security Administration or you know of someone, feel free to give me an email. Shoot me an email at Colburn, C-O-B-U-R-N, Enterprise 06 at gmail.com. Thank you, Leona, for this time. I love having these chats with you and being able to come on and be your co-host and talk on various topics. And I look forward to the next opportunity. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Madeline. I really appreciate you. And I know the audience was interested, very interested in what you had to say as well. So we will thank you. And we will now be ending this episode. And I hope everyone will stay tuned for, well, tomorrow's Wednesday episode at 1 p.m. Eastern Time. We will be interviewing Marion Jacobs from the Netherlands, and everyone's welcome to join in on that. That's Wednesday at 1 o'clock p.m. Eastern Daylight Time. Thank you so much. And again, Madeline, thank you so much, hon.
Thank you. You have a great day. Bye-bye.
You too.